prophets. And you know what Jeremiah said? They're dreamers of dreams. God has not spoken through them. Why? Because you get it wrong one time, done. There are all kinds of prophets on the TV, internet, and radio who have been wrong over and over and over, and the Bible ignoramuses continue to listen to them. As soon as they got it wrong one time, off button. That's it. So we went into more detail. If you want to go back and listen to Acts 11, 27 to 30, and in these days came prophets. We go into more detail about that and quote the text and everything else. So we move on. 33 through 35 says, and after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. So evidently these guys didn't get it wrong. They're prophets and they're getting it right. So they departed in peace unto the apostles. And verse 34, notwithstanding it pleased Silas to abide there still. Verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in where? Now that's not talking about city hall. That's talking about the local church. Local church gathering of believers in Antioch. Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Did you? I've said it, so you should know it. That's our purpose. Amen?
Amen.
We do other things, but the main purpose is the teaching and the preaching of the word of the Lord with many others also. So for weeks and months at a time, Paul remained in the local fellowship, learning and teaching. Even the Apostle Paul spent years at a time, sometimes months at a time, come to church and serving the Lord, come to church, serving the Lord, right there in the local church there at Antioch. Then at times, God would lead him to do things where he would travel and things, and so he would be gone for a while. But upon their planned departure, here's where it gets sticky. Some of you like drama. You're going to get a little bit of drama here. Some relationship issues. I know, this is like a Hallmark movie. Back before they started putting sodomites in the movies. They planned departure to revisit the churches that they planted during the first missionary journey that we've already discussed. There was disagreement. Look at verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay, that's fine. No. Verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So we get used to big things being, discussed, and big issues. Persecution of Rome, persecution of the Jewish leaders, people being killed. And here we come to this, and they're having a fallout over whether or not John Mark is going to go with them. That's what this is. And God thought it was important enough for you to see this that he put it in his Bible for permanent reading. You know why? Well, if you've gone to church very long, you know exactly why. There are always these personality clashes and differences of opinion, and they can sometimes just blow up into something way beyond what they ought to blow up to. And that's really what's happening here. You can almost hear Paul rebuking Barn. You beat everything, Barn. You know that. I think that's how Paul talked to Barnabas. He was either Barney or Barn. I'm just telling you. Paul's contention evidently goes back to John Mark's departure while in Perga that we read about in Acts 13:13. You just have to flip your page a couple pages there. You might recall back in Acts 13, this was just kind of in passing. It had not really much said about it. Verse 13 says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, talking about John Mark, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And that's it. Who knew? You read that? Who knew that underneath the surface, Paul was boiled about that? Paul was not happy with John Mark leaving and going back to Jerusalem. But the text doesn't tell us that at the time, but now we come to Acts 15 and we see it happening. Nothing was said of Paul's feelings about John Mark's departure, but obviously Paul was not happy. And it's showing now. Now, we might learn something here. It's inferred or implied in the text. Maybe things would have turned out better if Paul had not allowed it to fester. Maybe if he had expressed that at the time. Maybe if he had talked to Barnabas about it. But he didn't say anything according to the text. No evidence he said anything, and it just ate him up.
That young punk, what he going home? Little baby getting homesick. What's wrong with him? That just eats me up, Charlie. I put him, you know, up here with us to go with us and do these things.
I'm not going to act like it doesn't bother me when it happens to me, but it does. I've had a few times where I've tried to help guys out in the ministry, and then they just kind of, you know, go off and do their own thing. And some of them, I never see them again. And it just, you know, you're thinking, oh, you know, I know I was grateful when guys tried to help me out. I tried to show appreciation. Well, not just the ministry. How many of you have tried to help people and you don't ask for...
This one has.
Yeah. And you know what? I can't speak for Paul, and we're not told a whole lot, so I'm not going to act like I understand everything about this. But I want to tell you this. You have to go into the ministry, and some of you laugh when I've said this before. You don't go into the ministry because you love people. We love Him because He first loved us. And you do ministry because you love the Lord. You do everything you do should be to the glory of God. It'll still eat at you. You're still going to be human. But if you have that in your heart and mind as your motivation for reaching out and helping people and trying to serve the Lord, it will help you cope. It'll help you deal with things. Because what do you do? Well, then what y'all do is go to the Lord and take it to the Lord and say, Lord, oh, you know what I'm thinking. And you know how I feel about what's going on right now. But they're in your hands. I tried. I've done what I can to help them. They seem to not be grateful. They seem to just take it for granted. But I tried. And I know you know I tried, and that's enough for me. That may not sound easy, and it's not easy, but I'm telling you, for your sanity's sake, that is how you'd better do it when you're trying to help people. Doug?
Yeah, when you do, when I've done discipleship training and tried to help people through their issues and stuff, 9 times out of 10, people just walk away and do their
yeah.
thing. 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
At the judgment seat of Christ, your reward is your faithfulness, not their response.
Exactly right. That's the whole point right there. Is at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be your faithfulness rewarded, not their response.
Amen.
That's what I say about just preaching the gospel to the ungrateful, wicked, unrepentant sinner who doesn't want to hear it, and you tried, you'll still be rewarded.
That's basically all Jeremiah's ministry.
Yeah, and Noah. Think of Noah. I mean, 8 got on that boat and the rest all died, as the songwriter wrote. So some background info. Mark was Barnes' nephew. Did you know that?
No.
Barnabas was Uncle Barnabas to Mark. Just for reference, Colossians 4:10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. See that? So sometimes, how many, you didn't know that, but that explains a little bit why Barnabas was a little touchy about.
Right.
How many of you thought you understood what was going on around you? And then you later find out something else, you're like, oh, that explains it. How many of you know you could walk up to somebody today and they could be as nasty and cantankerous toward you, and you just, oh, well, I'll tell them, I'll give them peace of my mind, you know, that kind of thing. Then you find out, they just found out that someone they love has been diagnosed with terminal illness.
Yeah.
They just lost their job. You know, there's things like that we always have to keep in mind. We are not omniscient. So that guy being nasty and everything, I have not always succeeded. But I try to always remember when I'm dealing with somebody like that and thinking, you don't know what's behind that. Of course, sometimes it could be a medical condition or meds they're on. And so you always just have to take that in consideration. But we see in other texts that Paul had very little patience with those who left him to go home. I want to show you this. It's very important. We've talked about it many moons ago, but some of you weren't here for that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And if you have been in fundamental churches for very long and listened to sermons, you'll hear this text quoted. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And then it goes on to say, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And this is quoted as though Demas has committed apostasy and left the faith. It never says that. I've heard more sermons than I can count over 35 years how preachers have said Demas left the faith. Read it again. Paul says, for Demas hath forsaken who? Are you saved by your Lord and Savior Paul?
No.
No. And Paul never even suggests this means he's lost. He just says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's not even inferring there that he's backslidden. What he means is, like Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. He's saying that Demas is, whatever it was, could have been a woman, could have been his mama, could have been anything. Just homesick. Who knows? But it was the draw of this present world that drew him back to wherever he went. Or it says unto Thessalonica there in the text. But if it's true of Demas, it's also true of Crescens and Titus, who he wrote a letter to. And I don't think that's true at all. I think Titus went to Dalmatia, Crescens to Galatia, Demas went to Thessalonica, and Paul felt like it was, in Demas' case at least, it was not really the right thing to do, and he was homesick or whatever. But that's what I'm saying, though. Paul had, you know, quite an attitude toward those who would leave him and go away. He's on record about it. But don't let people add to the text the idea that isn't there about Demas being like lost. He's not an apostate as far as I can tell. The text says no such thing, and if true of Demas, then it would be true of the other two gentlemen mentioned in the text, and I don't believe that's the case. So ironically, now, look at who Paul says remains. They're still in 2 Timothy 4. And look, it says who remains and who Paul asked for. And by the way, this is according to the chart that I have in the Ruckman Reference Bible. This was about 16 years after this whole thing happened with Paul and Barnabas in Book of Acts. 16 years later, look at verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Who wrote Acts? Luke. The Book of Acts was written by Luke. Paul says, who's with him? Only Luke is with me. But then look at what he says next. Take Mark and bring him with thee. And look what he says. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. That is a pretty amazing human story we're reading there. Paul got angry with Mark departing from Pamphilius. So sharp with Barnabas that they depart from one another. And yet 16 years later, he's asking for him. Yeah, bring Mark on. He's profitable to me in the ministry. So, Paul was a bit hard at times. But he also was very forgiving. And I just think it lends to his credibility, the credibility of the Bible, and to your understanding to realize that, to understand that. That's what it means to read the Bible and get what's there to understand the humanity that we see in these people. And in that text in Colossians that I quoted just a moment ago, that was 12 years later, and I didn't quote this. After he says, Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. So he's not only saying, bring him along 16 years later and saying, he's profitable for me. 4 years before that, he's telling them to receive Mark. If he comes unto you, receive him. So that's just an important reconciliation right there in the text, that you have to compare Scripture with Scripture to even see it. But there it is. But those things, 12 years, 16 years, that's all future. Just it's good information to know. And here at this point in Acts 15, Paul and Barn part company. And that's the separation where we close this study. But back in Acts 15, look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas lost his salvation and he's not even saved. I'm telling you, I've heard so many preachers over the years that when somebody makes them mad, they disagree with them on something, I don't even believe they're even saved. You're looking at a spiritual infant to stand up there and say such a thing. I don't want to part company with anybody here, but I'm here to tell you, if you and I have a falling out, I don't believe you're going to hell for it. How arrogant is that for preachers to stand up there and act like that if somebody doesn't like them, then they're going to hell. They're not even saved. But people do it, just the rank and file Christians do it all the time. Someone makes you mad, that person, she's got to be devil possessed. That's how people are. I'm here to tell you that your relationship with somebody and how you get along with them doesn't have anything to do with their relationship with the Lord, except that if they do treat you wrongly, if they do treat you unfairly, it'll hurt their relationship with their Father. But they're still a child of God. So what you ought to do is pray for them. And what you can do, if you can, to bring about reconciliation, do that. And you'd better have the right attitude about that person if they have offended you or they've done something wrong. The Bible says if they repent, you're to forgive them. Luke 17:3. And you may never have that opportunity. They may never repent. It'll hurt their relationship with the Lord, their prayer life and everything. But you'd better always be ready to forgive if there's repentance. I'm telling you today, there's not a single person that is a professing Christian who could show up here today and if they were to repent, I would forgive them. I didn't say I'd feel like it. But I would, in my heart, say, Lord, I forgive them. I'd look at them, I forgive you. Now help me to really feel that, Lord. But what that means is you treat them like there was no offense from that point. Even if you don't feel like it, you treat them like there's no offense. Now, it still means there's certain things. You know, we talked about how the guy that may have ripped me off by, you know, $500, I'm not going to let him handle my checkbook. You know, so there's some things that still might remain as kind of a border there. But as far as your relationship with them and the way you treat them and allowing them in your presence and so forth, there's restoration. And so that's what we saw with Paul and Mark. But look, the key word in this thing with Paul and Barnabas, and the contention was so sharp between them. Sharp means it was severe, harsh, biting, even the word sarcastic, as sharp words, sharp rebuke. These guys had words. This was not pretty. That's the way the Bible describes it. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So sharp that then they part company, go separate ways. Fact, sometimes brethren just have to go separate ways. I've said this before, there's a couple of people that I'd say, as far as I know, three people in the, how many years were you in this now? 17 years, I think. 17 years at BBF. Three people that we've asked to leave. Now, we told them, if you can repent and if you want forgiveness, it's here, but there's repentance required. and you can't come back and do that anymore. You got to tell us, get, assure us you won't do that anymore. They never did. But we would welcome them back. But all the other people, there's people who died, there's people who moved, there's people who lived too far away, and that sort of thing. But of all the people here that live close within, you know, and they don't come here anymore ever, we didn't tell them to go away and stay. But I didn't go spend the rest of my life chasing them, trying to get them to come back. Why? Because you should come here because you want to be here. And at the same time, we're open doors. If they show up, they're welcome here. But most of those people, they, and most of them had no good reason for it, they became bitter. Because they didn't, not only did they walk out the doors from this local church, they're not in fellowship anywhere. I'm saying most of these people, not all, but most of them, not in fellowship anywhere, and just full of bitterness. And that'll happen to you if you are not forgiving. And if you not only demand that people do the right thing, but if you won't even try to reconcile and you won't accept repentance, or if you need to repent and you won't repent, it'll turn to bitterness. It'll be like poison spiritually in your veins. And that's the warning here. Barnabas had also been caught up in Peter's failure to stand against Judaizers. In Galatians 2, if you want to turn there real quick, I just want to look at it. Galatians is right before Ephesians. Galatians 2, 11 and 13. Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." There's another sharp disagreement. They were restored and everything. But look at verse 13. "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." So there's another issue with Barnabas. This thing with his nephew, John Mark, and now he got carried away with the works for salvation crowd. Isn't that something? It's just what it sounds like, just going the wrong way and doing the wrong thing. So without trying to guess or psychoanalyze, we could spend a lot, I could be here for another hour doing that. We emphasize one main point. Despite personal fallout, they continued to serve the Lord. Amen. Even if you feel like, you know, this guy's not doing the right thing and I'm trying to reconcile and he won't do it. She just turns away and she won't even talk to me, and I've tried to call her, I've tried to, and she won't even. What do? You can only do what you can do. Mm-hmm. And so what do? You just keep on serving the Lord. Amen. Because who's your Lord? Who's your Lord? Greg's not your Lord. If there's something that happens and you have a falling out with your pastor, keep serving the Lord, all I ask. You may not come here anymore. I may, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. I'm human and I do the best I can. I'm not perfect. If you can't get along with me because I'm not perfect, then it's not going to last long. But my main desire is that you serve the Lord, regardless. And so verse 39 ends by saying, "And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." And that's, you know, just a matter of fact that that's what happened. Despite no reconciliation, they just keep on with the ministry without Paul. As we saw, Mark and Paul reconciled, but Barnabas doesn't show up again in Acts. Isn't that something? That's another, what's that mean? I really can't tell you. It doesn't tell us that Barnabas was unforgiving toward Paul or vice versa. It doesn't give us any more information. Maybe that's on purpose. Yes, I believe it's on purpose. I think God wants us to think this through in terms of human relationships and realize there's not always going to be reconciliation. But what does Barnabas and Paul both do? They keep serving the Lord. The only direct reference in Paul's epistle to Barnabas possibly being with Paul, and I'm not going to read these just for reference, 1 Corinthians 9, 4-6, where he says, "Can't, you know, am I able to go with a woman, with a wife, like Cephas and the others? And can I go like Barnabas and not have to work? You know, he just, in passing, refers to Barnabas there. And then we see in Galatians, he's just telling what already happened and refers to Barnabas. So that brings us then to the close there in 40 and 41. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Again, despite the lack of reconciliation with Barn, of course, we should seek reconciliation. Just have to repeat that. If you're not seeking reconciliation, you haven't played that out and made sure that you've done everything you should do that now. Any of you in these sorts of situations. But sometimes it just takes time, or it may not ever even happen this side of the rapture. And that's sad. But regardless, we put Jesus first. And we keep on keeping on. Amen? And that's it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We've read it verse by verse. We've seen what you've said in the text. And it's a little break from the transition story to a very human story. And I'm sure that everyone in this room will admit they're human and fallible. And so we need these things. We thank you for them, helping us to think as we deal with life and deal with people. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the peace that we do have in our local church. We thank you that it's been very rare that we've had things blow up between people. And we pray it continues, that we would continue to have that peace right up to the time of the rapture, that we can enjoy the fellowship that we have, all of us, humbled by the reality that we're nothing but sinners saved by grace. And so it is with that reality that we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid. Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Sing that chorus a cappella.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest